It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, not afraid here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here from Valley Forge in Pennsylvania, where we're going to, I don't know, reconstitute the constitution of, they're going to make me be in the Constitution. You know, we have here Pericles Narcos.
Narcos, yeah, you got
Narcos.
It.
Pericles Narcos, and he is a young man with Students for Liberty. And tell me about Students for Liberty, and you were there just chomping at the bit, wanting to have a say in that last segment, you know. But let's go ahead and introduce you and who you are and everything, give you some street cred, and then you can give us what fur, man.
Okay. Well, Students for Liberty, it's a nonprofit, 501c3. We're based out of Washington, D.C., and our whole goal is that we're run by students to support students. So a lot of the time, students can feel pretty isolated on campus, and especially ones that are advocating the ideas of liberty. So we try to reinforce them. We offer training online. We offer a network of support with other universities. And we even offer resources, books, things like that.
Well, tell me where you guys come from. Are you associated with Campaign for Liberty? Are you sponsored by them somehow? Are you on your own? What?
No, originally there was a small gathering of libertarians at one point, and they decided that they wanted to make it a repeat thing. And they officialized that, Alexander McCobin, Sloan Frost, a couple other people who are now on our board of directors. And so over the past 2 years, the organization has just grown. And we're independent of Campaign for Liberty and Young Americans for Liberty, but we work with them. We work with a number of organizations, and they're two of some of the closest ones that we work with.
Yeah, because Young Americans for Liberty, I know they're kind of sponsored by Campaign for Liberty, and you guys are a lot of times associated with them. And a lot of times, depending on which university you go to, you'll find out that there'll be Students for Liberty will be the dominant one, or in another one, it'll be another one. And it kind of wanes and waxes and wanes with the others depending on whether it's election cycle or not. And Students for Liberty is a little bit different. It seems like you guys are more of a constant outreach educational thing, more of a constant tone in the background back there.
Right. That's the number one difference. Young Americans for Liberty works through the political system. Their goal is to saturate either Republican or Democratic parties, either one, with pro-liberty candidates. Students for Liberty is more oriented with education. So we promote, getting involved with the policy workers like Cato or some of the other think tanks. In Pennsylvania, there's the Commonwealth Foundation. We promote literature. We actually have a book project right now, the Bastiat Book Project, and we've given thousands of books out at this point to different campus groups.
Well, which one of Bastiat? You mean the law?
No, it's a compiled work, so it's a...
So it includes that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, Bastiat's great. That was actually, I think that was fathered by Tom Palmer out of the Atlas Economic Research, but...
You know what happened? It was, I was in Michigan, I think it was, and at a convention, and I heard Lawrence Reed speak. He's the head of FEE right now. He's going to be our keynote speaker for dinner program of the Freedom Summit in December.
Right.
You should go to that. Very cool. Very cool.
I'll try to make it.
We have freedomsummit.com. You'll get a lot of the information there. Well, Lawrence Reed, he impressed me so much. I wanted him to be one of the speakers, and he graciously accepted. But the one thing that he talked about when he was becoming active as a young man in the 60s, 68, 69, around in there, when the Soviet Union invaded Czechoslovakia, when the tanks rolled in, oh, they'd never do that. They would never do that.
Right.
And they rolled in and they protested. And what they went from all around the country, students were going and they're getting, and what was waiting on them? Well, he had a bunch of books You know, it's a free market capitalism kind of stuff. We got von Mises stuff. We got The Law by Bastiat. We got all this. He gets all these books and he just devours them, and it affected him the rest of his life. Well, the same kind of thing has just really happened in an enormous way with the internet in the last few years. So you represent this generation that just got saturated with this. You have already at 24 forgotten more about Austrian economics than I ever knew.
Yeah, I got lucky. I came into it. I ended up seeing Ron Paul debating Giuliani on the 9/11 thing in New York, and how, you know, Ron Paul was talking about blowback. That sort of sparked my interest. My younger brother definitely pulled me through. And from there on, in about 2 years, you know, I went from neoconservative to free market anarchist, where I just kind of think that interactions between people should be voluntary and free markets are good for everybody.
Well, tell me, you know, as you're advocating these things to these university students, it's another generation. They're your age and younger. And, you know, the conversation that you just heard between Sam and Charles and I, we're going at it, you know. I mean, you probably, I mean, these are probably the
had
same.
Had a million of those debates.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, you know, this is, I've had that discussion, I can't even count how many times. Yeah. So I'm just interested, you know, how is that perceived by the younger generation?
Well, what I actually see a pretty even mix. I mean, and that's Students for Liberty is kind of an umbrella organization. We don't put out a litany test for freedom. You know, if you believe in the ideas of liberty in general, you know, Students for Liberty will help you out on campus. So, I mean, I see a mix. I see the mix kind of trending more towards the perspective you were arguing from over time. And I think it generally depends where you are also.
But why? I mean, is it because of just information, because the way it's going now is broke, or is it just more inherently part of humanity? Are they looking to come? They want to go to space and government's not invited? I mean, what?
Actually, I saw that ad earlier. But no, I think it's more, technology is a big part of it, definitely. It exposes people to a lot more ideas a lot quicker than ever before imaginable. I mean, I got to go through probably 20 times the debate time that I would have had to had there been no internet. It probably would have taken 15 years for me to read all the things I read without.
And where do you get it from? Is it a Facebook links or what?
Oh, you know what? A lot of it came from actually Students for Liberty before I started getting involved, surprisingly. So their website, studentsforliberty.org, they have a whole bunch of links where you could sort of start to get your foot in the door with all this reading. And also, there's forums online. There's it, being at college helps. We had a student group at Drexel's, the Student Liberty Front, and that definitely helped a lot. There's a lot of different venues where students or young people in general can sort of get involved with the ideas. And
we're talking to Pericles Niarchos, Student for Liberty, Students for Liberty, and I want to, you know, what is your position in them? Is it a local, a national? What do you do?
Okay, well, Students for Liberty, it's a national nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the executive board of that. So there's a board of directors, which is kind of, they make long-term decisions. Executive board, which kind of makes the shorter-term plan, general plan to follow. And then there are campus coordinators who, like, facilitate action on each campus. And the idea is to make it as decentralized as possible. So we don't really do chapters or anything like that. Just whatever groups want to form that are pro-liberty on their campuses, we just support what they want to do.
How?
Well, you know, we do. We've done these webinar series where we'll have training online. Like I mentioned before, we do send books, different things from FEE, IHS, IJ, all these different big policy groups. And most importantly, we send them speaker contacts so they can put on their events. Something we have running right now, we're actually gearing up for our 9 regional conferences. Philadelphia is going to have its first one on October 9th. So that'll be really exciting. We have David Bowes as the closing keynote, Stefan Molyneux opening keynote. It's going to be very interesting.
You know, this is one thing I was really excited about, meeting Stefan Molyneux. Mm-hmm. Stefan Molyneux from Toronto, you know, we have him on the show. And the thing that I get from him is just one, he has kind of an accent, you know, a British accent.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a pleasure to listen to him talk, especially when he's got something decent to say. And he's really, really emphasizing this get off the plantation, man. Free your mind and your butt will follow.
Yeah.
And that has had an enormous impact on a lot of, he's got his own little fan base going on, big fan base.
Oh, yeah.
And so when he first did, the first video that I really recognized as his was Part 13, The Matrix.
And oh, that is a good one.
When that one hit, we put up on Freedom's Phoenix several times, and I'm like, you know, who is this guy? How do we find him? I didn't know. I just kind of lost track of him. And I went up to the Porcupine Festival, and there he was. And
yeah,
I go,
yeah.
Oh, we're so going to be buddies. Came on the show. He's going to be speaking at the Freedom Summit. And the thing that he advocates is kind of a lot what we were talking about, but it is so foreign and such a threat to people just like this conference that cannot comprehend that there's some benefit to have an entire generation that just wants to unplug. When we come back, we're going to talk to Pericles Niarchos, Students for Liberty, on the perception of what the future is and how the people that of his generation sees the future. Where are we trending? I'd like to hear. You stay right there.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, Pericles Niarchos. I like that name. That's cool. Pericles Niarchos, man. That's a you're just good looking just from that. You know, the one thing that I want to do is I want to make sure that we understand that there's I don't have the turner downer thing. I got plugged in the wrong thing. I just turned it off. You know, the one thing that I want to talk about is the impression that you're getting from this crowd. This is a I've been to a lot of these since I was, you know, just a little bit older than you. And the one thing that I always get the impression it was that it's a matter of fact, it's the same people, a lot of the same people. There's always this, you know, one more time. We're going to go in. We're going to do it right this time. We're going to vote for the right guy. We're going to do the and you've been through how many election cycles? I mean, you of course, you had Dr. Paul 08 and we're into 10. Is that it? That's your total experience?
Bush 04. But I don't want to say how I voted in that one. I wasn't awake then.
So 04. What about 06? Did you get involved in the midterm elections?
No. Well, at that point, I hadn't really thought about getting involved more on the local level. I was looking at everything from the federal perspective and very neocon federal perspective.
So. Okay. So you're one of them. Yeah, you look kind of neocon-y. So we're gonna. Okay. So you got that. You know, that haircut and that tie and that long sleeve shirt. You got a pocket protector. Let me see.
Yeah, right now. I'm
kidding. Oh, yeah. And you know, Students for Liberty button. Well, at least you're kind of dressed up a little bit. Well, the one thing is, you go through this stuff. You have the experience, and you're kind of, you know, which direction do I go? And what have you determined? I mean, a lot of the guys seen you hanging out with, you know, Pete and Adam, right?
Right, right.
You know, Pete
Liberty
and Adam,
on tour, yeah.
Yeah, they're rock and rolling. I'm glad I saw them. I had a bunch of, you know, tapes and shirts and bumper stickers and stuff for them, seeing as how we, owned the RV.
Yeah, that is. When they pulled in with that thing, I was like, yes, somebody here who will hang out with me and I'll know. And
well, you know, we did everything we could to support them. We wanted to have as much stuff on there as possible. And so what we did is we made sure that they got support because I knew these guys represent what it is that I want to be associated with. And they were selective enough that they wouldn't allow candidates to be on there. And they didn't even allow the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, yeah. They're very, very, very principled in their approach and who they allow support them. They don't want to take any money or support from people who aren't on board with what they promote. So,
which is a voluntarist society. They
right.
just, you know, totally, nope, don't want to play, wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is I'm going, okay, I'm really glad they turned down the Libertarian Party because, I mean, they're just not representing, man. I mean, it's getting bad. So I'm going, all right, so these are the guys we want to be associated with. And They come here and, you know, from your generation, them and you, what's your impression? I mean, you know, and here we got Gary Fancy just walked in and say, yo, what's up? You know, let's see if we can get you a microphone. We'll see if we can get you stuff. We'll get you in. Well, you can share this one. You know, so you're doing a lot of work here. You're associated with a lot of these guys. And after going and spending time in Phoenix and Freedom's Phoenix and all that kind of stuff, how would you describe the crowd here? What is their, in a nutshell, what's their goal? What is it they're hoping to accomplish?
Well, you know, it's called the Freedom Action Conference, and a lot of people are looking for action. They're looking for solutions. And the speakers here today, like, you know, Michael Shaw spoke earlier today, and what he was revealing about the Agenda 21 and the United Nations and such, I think is going to give people the fuel they need to fire them up to take action. And I'm looking for solutions. I'm looking for solutions. I know people here are looking for solutions. I believe they're going to find them. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about the 10th Amendment's going to be, you know, spoken of in greater detail. We're going to be showing Don't Tread on Me later tonight. You know, it's a good mood. It's a positive move. It's educational.
You know, and I'm all for the education. You know, I want to learn more, and a lot of, and I was interested more in Agenda 21. But, you know, the thing is, though, is I look at Agenda 21 and I go, wow, that really sucks. They're going to, you know, sign us in. Well, my name's not going to sign. I'm not going to sign it. Who's signing? Obligating me? Who's taxing me? Who's putting a gun to me, taking my money to do whatever? Who's preventing me from using my land? It's the federal government. And I'm going, another reason not to have them. I'm going, so
that's
you're
kind of the vibe I got, where I sort of felt I definitely can see any side of this argument, and I see potential in every attempt. I don't want to limit options. I think the more options, the better. The more ideas that are out there, the more likely a good one will take off. But for me, it kind of feels, I mean, if you look at the history of the United States, it's been a history of governmental growth. I don't necessarily have any government is governmental growth, and that's because it's a monopoly. So for me, I don't necessarily feel like something that's freed of market competition, that's completely on its own, it has authority.
Eliminates competition.
It eliminates
through legislation. You're not allowed.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We get to do our lottery. You can't.
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily good things will come out of working with that system, but I wouldn't preclude it as an option. I say don't limit any options.
You know, well, that's the one thing that I really, I never even thought of it until it was Dr. Paul brought it up on the Federal Reserve. He goes, well, you don't have to end the Fed. You just have to legalize competition. Now you legalize the competition, they'll just go away.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, with the government's the same thing. We had a show recently. We were talking about fire protection, rural metro. You know, private. You know, I contract with them like an insurance company.
You know,
I'm going here. You're my fire guys. I get in trouble. You come. You have a vested interest in coming and putting out the fire because you're going to pay for it. You know, if you don't do it. You know.
Right.
So it used to be that way, and it was so popular. In fact, that was Ben Franklin days. You know, you had this medallion on your door. You know, and they would. You know, these are the guys that we insure. You have more than one, and the first one there wins. I mean, you know, they get the contract. You know, they get the fee or whatever. So, I'm going. You know, this is. It was so popular that they had to incorporate it into the government. They needed it for to give
them. That's what they do. They see a good idea floating around in the marketplace. And granted, it wasn't perfect back then, but I mean, with the amount of communication today, you know, no company would ever let their reputation hang on the line because someone was short on money or something like that. So.
I am so looking forward to understanding the perspective of your generation as this unfolds. That's the future. I know better. I mean, I have my 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls, 2 men, 2 women, 20 to 24. And I'm telling you, man, them and all of their friends, tight. I had dozens of kids in my house every weekend. And it would always be, they come up, well, Mr. Hancock, what about? And then my kids, my sons would come over and start punching the crap out of them. You're not allowed to ask my dad a question, man. We'll never get out of here, you know. Well, I just wanted to know, shut up. So we had great conversations just like this. And I just asked questions. So, of course, when they go to university or even their teachers, they just go, well, do you have to make me do that? You know, it's kind of shut
up. Do I have
up,
a choice?
Shoot him, castrate him, sterilize him. He's not allowed to breed. I mean, you know, so it's that kind of mentality. So I have to ask the question of your generation and Gary here also and say, okay, am I allowed to have a government that I could just say, I don't want to be forced into your way of fill in the blank. I just want the option of not. Are you free enough to allow me not to take advantage of your services?
Yeah. Well, to me, that question, when you start talking, I love the Declaration of Independence, but in there, you know, consent of the governed is a major portion of that. And to me, when you start talking about consent of the governed, if you're talking about everybody, then it no longer becomes government. It just becomes a free society where people hire defense firms just like they hire FedEx to ship their packages.
But they don't, you know, that's what Gary, I'm telling you, you know, get in on this, Gary. I want to know, you know, am I allowed to not pay for the Postal Service? And, you know, whatever my taxes are going to Postal Service, no. No, I want to use FedEx. No? Yes?
Are you allowed to pay for the Postal Service? Well, yeah, you can.
Am I allowed not to?
Of course, you can choose Federal Express or UPS.
But they're going to take my taxes and subsidize. You know, a perfect example is education, the government school system. They're going to take my money, and I don't have kids in the school system. Heck, I haven't had them in the school system.
That's what I found so interesting about all the recent objections to the health care plan that just got passed. People on both sides of the freedom movement were saying, we object because you have to pay for this. And yet they have to pay for all these other things that they don't have a choice in, like post office.
I just want the choice. It's all about choices here. And Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. And who's advocating it? Well, we'll be back with Pericles Niarchos from Students for Liberty in just a little bit.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads. Turn on the tube, what do I see? A whole lot of people dying, don't blame me. They point their crooked little fingers at everybody else. Spend all their time feeling sorry for themselves. Victim of this, victim of that. Your mama's too thin and your daddy's too fat. Get over it. Yeah, get over it. Get over it here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. Get over it. Get over it. Get over it. Just get over it. Just boom, get over it. You know, we have on line with us here, in the conference. We're not even in studio. We got them. We're here at Valley Forge in Pennsylvania at the Liberty Conference, and we have guys back in freedomsphoenix.com. Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com studios. They're running everything through it, going up to the network and then broadcasting it out to the affiliates. So, man, we got skills. We got equipment. We got technology, and that's kind of the point. We have been able to use our minds and our brains and taken that with the ability to be able to directly communicate from individuals with other individuals all over the planet instantaneously in many different varied ways. I think they're probably webcasting this conference here. Heck, they could even charge for it. They probably are. Gary is the one doing it. And he's got some skills when it comes to this video thing, man. I'm very jealous of that. We're going to be ripping him off all the ideas as time goes on. He gets it all perfected. That's what I'm going to do it.
Yep.
Save me all that learning curve stuff. But the one thing that in the studio there, the young guys there, they're asking, they're going, well, what's the average age there? You know, who are the people that are attending and doing this? So what's your impression?
Well, I'd say generally we're looking at, you know, middle-aged or older. Mainly older, I'd say, but they're definitely. I ran into a handful of students who came over to the Students for Liberty table, and they were interested in what we could offer them as they kind of get ready to go to college. But I'd say for the most part, the vast majority is a fairly older crowd.
Yeah, you think, you know, if I had to hit an average age, it might be even be in the 60s. You think?
I think that's about the average. Yeah.
So it's another generation that is, were you. You know, they were me. They've just evolved in, but they're kind of limited in the solutions that they offer themselves. You know, I
think that's the problem. They sometimes, depending on what they're advocating, they might be limiting their solutions. For me, like when I think about something like immigration, I'm very pro immigration. I don't like the ideas of borders or people having to register with the government where they live, and the government gets to take stuff from them because of that. I don't like any of that. I think, you know, immigration is great for the economy. And by stifling that kind of argument, then you start to alienate a lot of people, immigrants themselves.
I tell you what comes from the other side. You know, I'm not so much a big immigration thing as much as I am an anti-government stopping it thing. I mean,
Right.
You know, I don't even care, you know. And they go, well, you should care. And I'm like, why? Am I allowed not to care? Well, you should care because, okay, what's your compelling interest? You know, give me your spiel. Well, they take this, they take that, they take healthcare, you know, education, the libraries, the roads, the parks. They go on, and I'm going, I don't remember one single Mexican coming up to me with a head, you know, gun to my head taking
yeah.
it.
Oh, yeah.
It was the government took it.
I think that's where the fundamental confusion is. It's the government doing all these things. Not just these people are just people like us.
They just want to blame somebody else. You know, you don't mind. It's okay if we take it. You know, if we take it, we got the 45, you know, and the shiny badge. And I'm going, it's very interesting that you can be so successful in convincing so many people that you don't have them, the guys with the shiny badges and the force and the monopolium force and the laws and the mechanisms to do it and the legislature and the bureaucracies and all this stuff that's all it's there to do is to give you a voicemail machine when you call and you need something.
Yeah.
You know, at least when you call in the yellow pages, somebody freaking answers the phone. Yeah. They want your money. The blue pages is like, how many hurdles can we get them to go through to get anything? And they're going to take your money. And then they go and they recruit Hispanics and people in a lot of areas, get them on these social programs.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
So
and the military, too.
It's the social program that's the problem. I tell you, it's even worse than that. It's them taking the money that's the problem. So they're trying to transfer this anger that you have for them taking all this stuff, it's costing you stuff, onto somebody that's going, there's a program?
I'm not getting any benefits from this program.
You should tell me more about this program. I'm getting blamed for it. I better get me some, you know?
Yeah.
So is that your generation, are you starting to see that? Is that when you get into that argument with these people, you know, I tell you, effective tools, I go, look, they're not the one taking it from me. This government you're advocating is.
Right,
let's talk about that. Well, until we get the welfare system, welfare state taken care of, we don't want these people. I'm going, you're never going to get a holistic answer.
Never,
All you did was just, you know, more profit that the government gets to keep from me. I mean, doesn't that even make any sense? What, you think you're going to lower my taxes now?
That's the question. Why would you want to bring more people into the tax fold and give more money to the government to subsidize more violence, more programs, more whatever it be? It just doesn't, if you're an advocate of freedom, I just don't understand why you'd want to get more people registered with a number.
See, what you're representing is, you know, I don't know how much of the demographic that you represent. What do you think? I mean, because the point that I'm making to the audience here is that, you know, I'm in the belly of the beast here. You know, the people that, and that's not really accurate. I mean, they're freedom lovers.
Yes.
You know, they want to get what they want, but they think they want liberty. They think they want freedom. They're advocating for it in those terms. But what they're really doing is they're going to my granddaughter and your generation saying, you are going to be on this plantation. You are going to be funding it. We're just going to make it better.
Yeah, you were born here and you will stay here. Because you were born here, you are part of this system. And
whether
you
like it or not.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, we're surrounded by good people who have the right intentions, for sure. And to me, generally, I think younger generations are a lot more receptive to getting away from traditional ideas. You know, I love the Founding Fathers. They're a huge inspiration. But at the same time, Lysander Spooner's got a great quote where he says, you know, either the Constitution authorized directly the government that we have today or it failed to stop it. And so, you know, obviously, it didn't really work. It is, I mean, literally in the literal sense, a piece of paper. The ideas it embodies are great. But I think maybe it's time to take that to the next level where we say, hey, why do we need government at all? We have the marketplace. We have competition and, you know, all these great things.
Yeah, if you had the government limited to what it was, the promise, you know, that you are allowed to voluntarily associate with whomever you want for any reason you want, as long as you're not aggressing against them, problem solved.
Yeah.
But, here comes the moralist. They're going, no. We got to use government to make people behave the correct way.
Right.
Whatever that is.
Both sides do, and both sides do it. Yeah.
What
is the correct way? I thought my way was the correct way for me, but.
No. You're not allowed. You're too dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I am incapable of deciding my own future. I cannot do it. If I do not want to, if I want to use FedEx, I still have to pay for the post office because, you know what, I can't choose which one's better or worse. Or...
You know, that's one thing that is really, it always comes down to economics. And what's really happened is that we're seeing that government is a monopoly on everything.
Yeah, monopoly I was gonna say, everything.
On force, monopoly on taking my money, you know, monopoly on spending it on, you know, fill in the blank. You know, it's always for my benefit. They love me, you know. But so as you get contact with a lot of the people here, do you what's the band that you have with this older generation of people that may have been doing it as long as you have?
A lot longer, much longer. I'm sure many people have been doing this decades, and for that, that's incredible.
Well, a lot of times it didn't come at it the way that you did. It was usually some personal thing. It's usually a tax, you know, it was taxes. That was a big thing,
right?
You know, or they took their whatever, you know, and so it's Second Amendment issues or it's something. A lot of times it's taxes. That really gets people riled up.
Yeah.
And they take their property and so on, so they're lashing out. But what's the common thread that you have with most of the older generation here? Your real link between them to where you'd be on the same page is what issue, you think?
Well, I mean, first of all, on a general sense, I think there's a strong emotional connection for all the people here at this conference, at least, to the ideas of freedom. I think they view those ideas as the most moral, you know, even if they're not advocating total freedom, even in what they're advocating, they definitely have the ethical thing down. I think in the consequentialist sense, where the issues we agree on, there are many of them. I mean, they're definitely for the economic freedom. They're definitely against the excessive coercive power of government.
Yeah,
let's say.
See, it's always qualified. The excessive coercive power. You know, yeah. It's like, well, as long as it wasn't so coercive, then it'd be okay, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where it's hard, even though I can, you know, enjoy their company and we can have interesting conversations, which, you know, one reason, you know, why I'm on the radio, because I can make a good argument going up against these guys. So they, you know, even the owner of the network, you know, he's like, yeah, bring Ernie on. What the heck? It's always entertaining. But the thing is that I'm going, okay, what is the common link? Are we really have a common thread? Well, I'm looking for it. And they advocate the promise of government, but I'll tell you what I'm looking for. You know, I want to eliminate the monopoly. I mean,
right.
I want to be able to say that, no, I'm 100%. You're not allowed to put a gun to my face and take my stuff without my permission. If I want it, I'll subscribe to it. You know, I'll ask for it. I'll be part of it. I'll something. But, if you're going to have to make me, I think we got problems right there before we even go any further. Well, when we come back, you know, we'll explore this. We got some more goodies going. Is that Mr. Larry Pratt? Hey, he's just Mr. Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. We'll bring him in on the conversation. It'll be fun.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
The show's going on and on and on here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I got Tom DeWeese, and he is putting on this event, and he's going to tell us all about it. We also got Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. It's been a long time since we've seen each other, Larry. How you doing, man? A
few years. Good to see you.
Yeah, we're gonna talk. I got you here in a second. We want Tom to go ahead and tell us everything about it here at Valley Forge. I mean, was there a reason why you came here? You thought it sounded cool, looked good?
I'll tell you the real reason why we came here. If you go over to the Valley Forge National Park and take a tour of it, you will find a white clapboard house there called the DeWeese House. And William DeWeese Jr. in 1777 owned half of the Valley Forge. His father, William DeWeese Sr., was the High Sheriff of Philadelphia in 1776, and John Adams gave him the job of organizing the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence. They're my relatives.
Oh, I'll see how you are. Okay, so there's a link here. Well, the one thing that I've
been causing trouble all this time.
The whole family.
Well, Tom, I appreciate everything that you're doing here and the people, and a lot of times you'll have it's good to see some of the young people that are associating with people that have been in this for a long time. But I got to get your impression. These young people, they have immersed themselves in Austrian economics. They've immersed themselves in history. They sit there and share links with each other on Facebook, and they'll spend hours a day researching. These kids have learned more about Austrian economics and history than I ever – they've forgotten more than I've ever known. It's amazing. So these guys, you just can't really snooker them, you know? They're up there. What's your impression of this next young 20-something generation?
Well, the first thing I think about when I think about the young generation is where they came from in the public education system. They didn't have a prayer of being patriotic, understanding how our country worked, any of that. Austrian economics, forget it, you know? And somehow these guys have come through all of that. I know a few of them that got sparked by the Ron Paul campaign, other things got them going, but they grasped it, and they're grabbing hold of it. You know, college campuses are a hotbed of people who understand limited government and freedom, and I think it's the most exciting thing that's ever happened.
You know, that's one thing that I wanted to talk about with both of you guys, and it's going, you know, here, I'm the black sheep here, man. You know, I'm the oldest young guy or the youngest old guy. I'm kind of in the middle here, you know, kind of bridging the gap. I'm born in 61, so I grew up knowing the government was a liar, okay? I mean, you know, my first moments, I mean, sitting around the dinner table watching the same footage from Vietnam, you know, over and over and over. It's like watching that bomb in the Gulf War going down the same chimney all the time. So I'm going, hey, I'm a 7-year-old kid. I'm going, didn't they show that before? I'm like, you know, come on. This is, you know, what the heck is going on here? So I can see that there is a, from their perspective, because my generation started to see that there was something going on. There's something, they're not telling the truth. There's some other truth out there. And I'm wondering what the truth is to this next generation. You're trying to give them that, yes, we can have a good government if what? Where they're kind of, you know, going, I don't know, man. I haven't seen a lot of evidence for a good government. I mean, they're kind of oxymorons to them. So I'm going, you're saying we can have a good government if, and I'm wondering what the if is.
If the government gets out of our lives. It is. What
well, that's kind of what they're saying.
Exactly. That's exactly right, though. But what they're seeing is that the government is involved in every aspect of their life. And of course, the whole thing with the growing biometric databases and controlling you know, where they can go and you know, monitoring their travel and so forth. They're very concerned about that. So, you know, they're seeing government everywhere, and they're seeing it doesn't work, and it's oppressive. And I, you know, it took that much. What we've learned throughout life is that people don't react until it affects them. You can tell them to your blue in the face, this is bad economics, this is a bad idea, until it actually comes to fruition and they see, oh wow, this is hurting me. They don't get involved, and that's now it's come so far that now they're getting involved.
Well, this is what I've seen, and Larry, you and I have known each other since, God, the early 90s or something. It's been a long time. And, you know, in the gun rights issue was always kind of this, you know, as L. Neil Smith puts it, it's a Vulcan mind meld with the state. If you can see, if they're going to, you know, you can tell how they what they think about your freedoms and how much they want to disarm you. Well, it seems like they're kind of, you know, getting to the realization that people don't want to be disarmed. And last month they had more checks for buying firearms than any other time in U.S. history. Last month, the July figures. And I'm going, is that telling us something, Larry? What's going on?
Well, I think that's a measure of people's concern, put it very mildly, about what's going on in this country. From before the election, when people could see that Obama was likely to be elected, I had people that had never owned a gun before call and find out, what about this gun store, and what kind of gun should I have? All these things were going through their mind just in case. And then, of course, once he won, the sales continued to go. And it's kind of the same impression I get, the same mindset, the same worldview that Tom DeWeese was just articulating. People in the area of the Second Amendment don't want the government in their lives. They carry guns because cops are too heavy to carry. And, you know, so it kind of makes us understand where the economic freedom advocate is coming from, because we get to see it even just in the little area that we work in.
Well, you know, it's I'm hopefully getting the understanding that the young is understanding it's not about going out and blazing away and guns, freedom, just to be able to whatever, fill in the blank. It's more fundamental. And it's kind of what we were advocating in the 90s. We're saying, look, it's not about guns. It's about freedom. They're always saying, well, you know, we gave you the permit to have this gun this way, and we gave you the permit to get your machine gun. We gave you a permit to do it. And we're going, Whoa. That's not what we're advocating here.
I have a weekly show, and the announcer brings it in by saying, it's not just about gun control. It's about control.
It's about control. So, Tom, in appealing to the youth here, here is, you know, you go to a lot of the, I'll give you an example. In the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to go to a lot of events that, you know, featured Dr. Paul's campaign or Dr. Paul going on a campaign for liberty or these. And a lot of these young guys are not even the campaign for liberty. Kind of the average age went up. You know, there were people, the older people went into that, and the younger people were like, I don't know, is it a club that I got to sign up somewhere or I'm not doing it? You know, I'm not a signer up guy. Well, you had some young people here coming in and visiting with a lot of people who are more seasoned in the liberty movement. What is the draw that you're trying to bring? You know, they're going, you're still advocating the government for me to, you know, have this monopoly of force on me. And I'm kind of, they want to help. They're in, they want to learn about the Agenda 21 stuff. They want to learn what's being done to them. They want to learn. But they're, and I talk to these guys, and they see this government, the structure that they're being forced into, as a thing that's speaking for them and signing these treaties, signing away their future, indebting their them and their children. They're, that's the mechanism that's doing it. And you go to them, yeah, but we got to what?
Well, I, first of all, what's happening to us now? We started out with a republic where the, you know, our founding fathers put together a republic where the local government was the most influential on your life. And slowly but surely, that became the state government. It became the federal government. What you're seeing now is international government, the farthest away you can get from an individual. There's absolutely no say, no control, nothing that you can do. You can't go to your local UN representative and make your pitch. You can't file a petition to them. And I think they're seeing, I know I do, I look at it with great fear and trepidation because we have no say in that whatsoever. And I think that's one of the motivations to it.
Do you understand how they might see the federal government in exactly the same way?
Oh, absolutely, I do. Absolutely.
The state government in exactly the same way. The local city government that's come and saying your lawn is too long in exactly the same way. The state government that's going and saying you have to have this permit, you got to be charged this, you can't use your land this way in exactly the same way.
Let me bring it around to you because that's exactly right. What we're talking here about sustainable development and Agenda 21, we've said here at this conference that that is the center of everything we're fighting. All the other issues that are out there have a connection to this. Why do we say that? Exactly what you just said. Those local governments are now being run by an organizations like the International Council and the Local Environmental Initiatives that help write Agenda 21. Those are international policies, international regulations that are being put through your city council. So, you know, that's the whole international conflab coming in to your local city. It's one big circle.
Well, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I want to get into in the next hour is that we're having an opportunity to understand from everybody's perspective that we have governments that are dealing with other governments at different levels, and we get further and further away, and it might be this idea that, do I have to be on this collective? Well, let me tell you what, you know, says, no, I don't. Ultimately, it's a gun. And we got Larry Pratt when we come back. He's going to tell us where we're going with this, because I'm telling you, it's getting more and more adamant, and people are getting better prepared. And it's happening without any direction from anyone. It's just people being prudent. How much food do you have under your bed? How much ammunition do you got? And you know my advocacy, got chickens? Well, that always helps. And we'll be right back here from Valley Forge, where we have the Freedom Action National Conference with Tom DeWeese and Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. We'll spend more time with Larry when we come back. Thanks, Tom. I appreciate you putting
this on. My pleasure.
Thank
you.
And we're all having a good time. We'll be right back.